And hello, everybody, and welcome to our ERC Gold, Gold Plus, whatever we call it, our support call. It's just you guys, and it's a small group, and you get to ask me whatever you want, get support. What I request, though, is that when you, I'll just go around, and anybody who has questions or comments or wants to say is report something that's a positive, like something that's improved, whether it's something you've done, an action you've taken, or something positive, or just that the weather's nice. You know what I mean? Like something that you can appreciate, and then we'll go in and support you wherever you need help. Okay. So who wants to go first? Who wants to start?
Oh, I could start first. I don't mind.
All right.
So the happy thing is the weather is beautiful. It really is a nice day. I got to take the dogs for a nice long walk. I worked all day, but got to do that before I came into this. And my husband and my daughter left and went to Florida. So it's me and my mom. So that should be a very nice and interesting couple of weeks.
Good luck with that. And you know, it's, yeah, you never know with moms.
I know. I'm going to need it, I think. She's tough. She's really tough. But anyway, I love her to death. So my questions are, I have done the oat test, and just listening to Lisa today, can you explain the Krebs cycle just a little? I know it's like complicated, but
I can give you a general idea of it. Yeah, the Krebs cycle is, it's in every cell in your body. It happens in the mitochondria. So every cell has these mitochondria. I like to call them as powerhouses. And when you look at some of my presentations on it, I got these little cartoon characters with you. So it's the energy producing mechanism in your cell, the mitochondria. And to make a long story short, the Krebs cycle is where what comes into the cycle is oxygen and glucose. What comes out of the cycle is ATP, which is an energy currency. So for every molecule of glucose that goes in, 36 ATPs come out if it's working efficiently. So it's basically a series of chemical reactions, and it's a cycle because it kind of goes the way we draw it anyway. Is it cycles because it starts, say it starts here, and then we go around and then comes back up to the top and grabs another. So like the amino acids go around and they grab another glucose and go around again and again. And then out this side down the bottom comes the ATP. And there's three different parts, but I don't want to get into all of that. But the Krebs cycle itself is that. And so amino acids are super important, and B vitamins in particular, niacin and riboflavin. B2 and B3, and they're cofactors which speed up that process. So when you test it on something like the organic acid test, you can test certain metabolites like intermediates in there, and you can tell if there's a backup, like if it's stuck somewhere and it's not continuing to go through, then you can say, oh, well, look at that. Riboflavin's important for that particular step. So maybe we have a riboflavin or CoQ10 or niacin or whatever. And so that's where that all comes out. In the organic acid test, at least I haven't done the Genova one recently. I usually do the Great Plains for a number of reasons that Lisa explained. But when you do that at the back of the test, they'll explain stuff to you. It may seem like it's Greek or Latin or Chinese or whatever, Russian, because it's, when you're reading it, you're going, well, okay, that would make sense if I knew what you were talking about. But anyway, but they give you those explanations. And then when we look at it, we'll say, oh, you might need some extra B2. You might need some extra niacin. You might need whatever. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And one other question, it said that I have high ketones.
I would expect that.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Yeah, I would expect that because you eat a low carb diet.
Okay.
Right? Now, it's a problem if somebody has high ketones and they're eating kind of standard stuff, right? If they're eating a normal diet and they have high ketones, then I would look at that and really want to dig into it. But for the kind of diet that I recommend for most people in this program anyway, I expect it to be. If you didn't have high ketones, I'd be like, oh, how do we get your ketones up?
Oh, okay, good. I got a little My daughter's diabetic, and when she has ketones, it's a whole big deal.
It's a whole big deal because her sugar's up.
Right.
So if ketones are high and glucose is high, that's a problem.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Right? If ketones are high and glucose is low, that's ketosis. That's just like right. metabolic ketosis that can be very helpful, right? Nutritional ketosis. Okay. Yeah. And then just get you. I don't know when you're next. You rescheduled.
I had to reschedule. Yeah. I don't have it till like the end of April. It's the only time I can get with you.
All right. So before we finish here, let me look at my calendar, see if there's okay. some time in between them that I can get you into. I have reserved spots on my calendar that I don't tell appointment core about because I don't want them taken up. So, because I don't mind it working late. Especially right. these days, I'm not going anywhere, but I don't want to put that on my calendar and suddenly find that, you know, I've got somebody coming at 9 o'clock and all of a sudden it's there. And I'm like, oh, I was planning to, I don't know, have dinner with my husband that night or, you know what I mean? Right. So I keep sometimes reserved, but I talk to people on weekends and evenings if need be, but I just don't make it public.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Great. Who else? And you did go to Florida, right? You did go down there. Was it nice? Was it warm?
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, one rainy day, but I walked every day. It was so nice to be like outside. But Florida does not think COVID exists.
Right.
They don't. Like, you go out and there's people, they're sitting side by side in a restaurant or at a bar. I was like, I gotta get out of here.
It's gonna be like this in Texas soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. I was really surprised at how inconsiderate people were.
Darn. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't, blah, 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 blah. But to actually expose other people who, potentially.
Very,
yeah.
very, very spooky down there. That's the only thing. So we did a lot of eating in and eating outside. So.
Yeah. Outdoors, right?
Yeah.
Right. Good. Good. Thank you. Wheaton, how about you?
Let's see, positive thing. I'm almost 2 months in on still doing the elimination FODMAP low oxalate diet, so I'm happy about that. It leads me to the question of I'm having issues with making sure I get enough protein. My body doesn't want the Sacha Inchi. I've tried to reintroduce nuts again, different types of nuts. It's not going well.
Not going well.
Nope. So I don't know if I can introduce white beans or black beans in small quantities.
I would try, but small quantities. Didn't you try that with the red beans or something, but you had it with 2 servings of cocoyo and you weren't sure what did that. Wasn't it some kind of beet lentils? I thought you had introduced something, but then it was confusing because you had double the amount of the, anyway, I remember you mentioned that and I responded and Lisa responded really well to that. I don't remember.
You go through the chronometer again. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So protein. So first of all, congratulations on doing that. And I read your thing about the tinnitus and I think that's so amazing. Is that still at bay?
No, it came back about 5 days ago.
Okay. So here's what I want you all to understand. I know this is a pain, right? This whole scientific process is a pain, but when a symptom goes away and then comes back, that's where keeping the records, even if you're not looking at the records, is important. Because if you have to look at them, you go, huh, what happened right before that, a few days before, food-wise, stress-wise, exposure-wise, weather-wise, even sometimes barometric pressure or something like that. So that's where looking back to see it came back, what could have happened there? What happened in terms of a nutrient balance, salt intake?
Okay.
All that kind of stuff could be because the tinnitus is related to a lot of that, and the sodium is an important piece as well.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Okay. I noticed that I started adding supplements back in a little too quickly. I wasn't doing one every couple of days. And for about a week, I was waking up with gritty eyes and they were dry throughout the day. So I've weaned back off the supplements and my eyes aren't having that grittiness anymore. So now okay. I'll do it properly.
So now do it properly. So I know elimination diets are not the most fun things to do. They aren't, but
there's a reason for them.
There's a reason for it. And there's a reason for slow and steady and marking everything down, right? Because, and then you go, okay, what was it? Was it vitamin C? Vitamin C would be my most likely suspect with the gritty eyes because of oxalates.
I hadn't even brought in vitamin C.
So yeah, I think you have to do it. It's clearly something you added.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. With supplements, should I wait 2 or 3 days then in between each one?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I would. And so you've been taking the B6 and the magnesium all along though, right?
At this point, yes.
Okay, right. Because that they'll yank onto. And you're taking it with your meals, right? With your meals sometimes, and separate.
Sometimes okay. With a meal, sometimes without.
So the not so much the B6. The B6 doesn't matter when, but magnesium with the meal to pull out whatever oxalates are in there.
Okay.
Okay. But here's the thing. If you take magnesium with your meal because your oxalate sensitivity and you're expecting it to yank the oxalates out, you need to take extra magnesium at another time when the magnesium can actually get absorbed into your bloodstream and be useful.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there a certain amount that I should be doing with foods then? And
I would do like 350 to 500 with the food.
And then how much without?
And I would say the same, at least as a starting point away.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have
Dr. Ria Marie, any type of magnesium or a specific type?
Citrate works. Citrate is where all the studies are. So with the meal, it's citrate. Now, I found this in looking for it. I think it was for Gina, was this particular kind of magnesium that I was like, oh my God, where have you been my whole life? Have you been taking it?
I've been taking it and it's been really helpful for the last, I've been taking it now for about 2 weeks and it helped me sleep quite a bit. Awesome. Oh my God.
Well, we were looking for
that one.
And this may help because, you know, if you have trouble with fats, taurine is an important amino acid for helping with bile salts. It's also a precursor to GABA. All right. So this particular magnesium is magnesium taurinate, magnesium threonate. And that's a very calming, amino acid that's a precursor to, there you go. Yay, she has it right there. It's called Peak Performance 3-in-1 Advanced Magnesium. And then the third type is glycinate in there. So threonate is used a lot in ADD, like for focus issues, the threonine. I'll pull it up on the screen because here's the other thing about this company. Well, it's all pure. There's no additional additives or anything in it. And they donate, when you buy stuff, they donate to giving vitamins to kids in you know, countries that don't, where they don't have it or they need it. It's let me get this thing up. It's really cool. They have other stuff. I haven't had a chance to look at their other supplements, but it's really PEAK PERFORMANC. I should just put this in my favorites. Peak Performance and Magnesium. There we go. Oh, here we go. I found it. All right. Let me share my screen here. Share screen. And okay. All right. You see it? So it's got this really, where is it? If you look here, third party tested, 30-day money guarantee, 1-for-1 donation to Vitamin Angels. So For every bottle you purchase, Peak Performance, through our partnership with nonprofit Vitamin Angels, will supply a child at risk of malnutrition with vitamins for a year. Isn't that cool? Right? And so the what's in there is magnesium threonate, magnesium glycinate, and magnesium taurate. And guess what? Nothing else of any problem. Cellulose, water, and silica. And silica is actually good for bones and hair and nails and teeth. So anyway, it's worth, I'll put the link in there. They have other supplements. I haven't had a time to really look. Stop share to look at their other stuff to see what else I may want to get from there. But yeah, and it's good to hear that it's working well for you. There you go.
Thank you. So, is there a protein that you would recommend that I can try after? I'll retry the beans, but something after that.
So you've tried Sacha Inchi, you've tried the rice and the pea protein and those don't work.
My body's not wanting any of those. The only one it wants right now is the Sun Warrior vanilla.
Okay, well that's got pea and rice in
it. It has a couple of things in it.
But it's okay.
Right now, yep.
But you need something, you need alternating. I mentioned to you last time, I think it was the Keon aminos. They're just pure amino acids.
Yes.
Okay. Have you tried those?
I don't think so.
Okay, these might be a good way to go. I take those before I go exercise. If I'm going to do a heavy workout, I have to just give myself some extra aminos before that. And it helps me to, I don't know, I just feel like I have more stamina when I do.
Okay.
Did you do your chronometer to see how much actual protein you're getting in your food? Like how much?
I'm getting between 20 to high 20s a day. So way too low.
Way too low. Yeah, way too low. I would say, have you tried lentils?
I know I'm allergic to lentils, okay. Different colors. So I'm not even going there.
Don't even go there. Adduki beans?
Never heard of them.
Okay. They're little tiny beans used a lot in macrobiotic, very much easier to digest. The smaller beans are easier to digest and usually tend to be lower glycemic than the bigger beans.
Oh, how do you spell it?
A-D-Z-U-K-I. A-D-Z-U-K-I. Did I spell it right? No?
A-D-U-K-I.
Adzuki. A-D-Z-U-K-I.
Okay.
And they're real little and they cook fast, but soak them, always soak them first. And then when you eat them, have them with whatever green leafies and other non-starchy vegetables that you tolerate well.
Okay.
That'll keep the blood sugar stable with that.
Okay.
The thing with beans, some people, you know, they lower blood sugar. They should lower blood sugar, right? But for some people, just the amount of starch in there does cause it to go up. Some people can eat black beans, but not white beans. So until you tell, and then again, with an allergic type food, you're eating as much as you can for 3 days just to see. Because even if you're slightly allergic, we don't want to put it in until that comes down. With the things like a FODMAP sensitivity or a oxalate sensitivity, we want to find your sweet spot of how much you can eat. Right. So I would start with, you know, just cook them up and take a couple of tablespoons with a meal. You do okay with that. Check your sugars, check your belly. It's the main thing is your belly. And then check in the next meal, have 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons and just find that amount. If you find an amount that causes you to go, ooh, that didn't feel so good. Right. Then you go backwards and you allow it to get out of your system for a couple of days. So you don't do any for a couple of days. And then you go back to the level that was okay.
Okay.
Right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome. You know, people don't like me when I tell them to do an elimination diet. It's just such a pain. Such a pain. Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Gina?
So the positive thing is my histamine blood test came back and it was a lot lower. It's within the lab range.
Yay.
Yes.
But you didn't have to do any dramatic, like take all the foods out of your diet. Just the stuff you're doing is helping. Yay. That's good.
So I'm still eliminating, right? Or I still haven't eaten any grains. So I'll wait till we talk on the 17th.
Okay.
The other question I have is my fingers are still feeling the soreness breaking out all over. Still, and
so
I'm
that
like,
had gotten better within the first few days of the elimination diet, right? And then it just started to, without eating anything new or anything changing, it just came back.
And it was always there. It was always there. It's just that it changed form. It was an open sore. It was a close sore. Now it's open and everything. It's really connected to my back.
See very well. I'm gonna put you on spotlight so I can. Okay, speak and you'll show up on the speaker view.
Okay.
For me. Okay, speak while you're showing it to me. I can't figure out how to. Oh, let me try this way.
So if you pin her, if you
that's
pin
what I'm
her,
looking. Where's the pin thing anyway?
If you go pin, in her picture it. In the upper right hand.
Whoops! I just did the wrong one. I pinned Wheaton. I didn't mean to pin Wheaton. Okay, so how do I unpin, remove pin? Okay, so I'll go to Gina and I'll say pin. Okay, good.
Hard to see.
Yeah, it is hard to see.
Because there's an open sore that started today, but that's because it's connected to my back, I believe. Well, I have this pain in the back. It's trying to release.
Is it all fingers or is it just one finger?
Right now, it's just a couple of fingers. And this one is really bad.
Which ones make a difference? Is it the same two fingers on both hands? No, that's a pinky.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the fingers, only on the fingers. Okay. No,
because I'm just trying to see if it's related to like a shingles type of thing, which would be related to the back, a specific spinal level, but a specific spinal level would come to specific fingers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like that. Plus you oftentimes see it running down the whole arm and into the finger. Okay. And is it oozy?
Right now it's not. It was a long time ago. It was oozing before like open sore. Now it's closed, but it's very tender and it gets numb. You get that numbness, a little bit of numbness up on the top of the fingertips.
And tell me what you mean when you say it's connected to your back, because your back hurts at the same time when it gets worse.
Yes. I have this back pain here on the upper right and left blades. And I can tell it's loosening up. At the same time, I notice my fingers gives me the symptoms.
So when your back starts to get aggravated, those things. And is it both sides on the back?
Yes. It's
both sides. Okay. We talked about this. I don't know if I talked about you with it or somebody else, but a couple of possibilities for being able to treat your own back. I know you said when you were getting massage, but that's, you know, it's a long time. It's a long way away. There's a machine that you can get. Ultrasound wouldn't work very well because you can't see it very well and it's too close to your spine. There's this thing that's almost like a massager. It looks like a gun, and it's a massager tool. And it's got a handle and you can reach back. And I've been using it on myself anytime anything starts to get aggravated, and it just loosens it up like within 5 minutes. It's so good. So if you want, I'll pull one up. I'll pull it up on the screen. I don't have a particular brand. There's several of them. I don't know how I got it. Somebody sent it to me, but I had my sister-in-law ordered one off of Amazon. So I'm going to go to Amazon, and whether you like Amazon or not, you can find it somewhere else if you don't. Some people don't like to order from Amazon. Massage gun, I think they call it. Here we go. All right. You see? And it's got different tips that you can use.
Are you sharing your screen?
Oh, did I not share? Sorry. I'm still seeing you on my screen. I see it on my screen, so I think you guys see it. There you go. You see it?
Okay.
There's all different kinds. I'll see if there's one that looks like the one I have looks kind of.
So did you type in massage? How
I just
did
wrote
you
in my massage gun, and then this came up, deep percussion.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And there's a bunch of different ones, all different prices. You can read them. I don't have no idea which one is mine because somebody sent me it. And then some of them look like it similar. This looks similar, but they all have similar heads, and you can change the heads out if you're trying to get into a small spot, if you're trying to go either side of the spine.
Were you able to do it by yourself?
Oh yeah. 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 Because you see the handle, right? And you can hold the handle. Like you can, I could get it if you want. Does anybody else want to see it? I can actually go get it and show you because I can show you how you can actually do it yourself. All right. Yes. People are shaking their heads. Okay. So I'm going to go get it. All right. So that's what it looks like. So see, it has a good handle. I'll show you on the front of my arm, but then I'll show you how I would do it on my back. Okay, on. And it vibrates, and it's got, this is the one that's good for goes all the way up. But this one I like to use for small spots. Mm-hmm. And then the bigger ball I might use on the side of my leg. But let me see. Well, let me see if I can show you on my back. So if I were going to do it on my back, I would just reach back and just find the spot. Ooh, feels so good. And you just, you know, following the tension. And you can see you can reach it yourself. I haven't found any place, maybe like right the dead, even the dead center of my back I can reach. You know, you can go down.
And does it only come with one head?
No, it comes with all of those that I showed you. It comes with this one. And if the other ones, like there's one that's it's like a big ball. That's mm-hmm. really nice for, it's like if your butt or your the sides of your legs where it's a big place, although you probably don't have any place that are big on you, but you know, you might use this on all of them. But there's another one that has like a little, it's like a horseshoe shape. So if you are, that would be better to have somebody else do for you, but you'd go on the side of your spine, kind of like this. See my crazy shirt. Yeah, and there's like four different heads. I find it useful. Sometimes if I go running and I go up and down hills a lot and I'll maybe try to fall asleep and I have pain in the side of my leg, I just get up and I keep this in my bedroom near my bed and I'll just go up and down my leg and I'll go into the butt, I'll go into the spine. So, you know, just play with it and it may become your best friend. And somebody sent me this. I have no idea who sent me this. There was no note with it. And I left it in the box for a long time. I'm like, I don't know who sent it to me. Maybe it's a ploy. Maybe it's a, you know, really a gun. It's going to hurt me. So I left it there. And I went to visit my brother and my sister-in-law about a year and a half ago. And she pulls the stuff. She goes, oh, I got to go do my daily therapy. And I'm like, oh my God, I have one just like that. She's, this is the best tool in the world. This is so amazing. I bought it from my chiropractor. And it's, I'm like, okay, I got to try. I tried it at her house. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be brave and try it. And I've been using it ever since. So, and the thing is, my guess was somebody was sending, this is like, has no brand on it. So my guess is that somebody was sending it to me and then to follow up and private label it. Like, do you want to, you know, but nobody ever followed up.
Got it.
But okay. I think you would really enjoy that to be able to take care of yourself. And, you know, of course, going to get a massage is the ultimate luxury, but when you can't, right?
Right. So could this also be related to being in the cold country? Because I noticed that my breakouts occur in the wintertime, but this is the worst that it has ever occurred.
Well, dryness, right? So the other thing I'll think about is, you know, dry skin, certainly, if you're out there. When you're out in the cold, though, aren't you covering your hands with gloves?
Yes, I do.
Right? It could be the dry heat. I find that I get a lot of dry lips and, you know, dry fingers if the heat is on, right? Because it's a dry heat and it's indoors and the air isn't going. And fatty acid. So you might, I don't remember what your blood spot showed. Did your blood spot show us fatty acid imbalances? So like increasing your omega-3s could be helpful. Even topically, I find a combination of castor oil with flax oil. It sounds really bizarre, but I mix it together and put that topically. And I've had people get over hives with that, like quickly. So it's topically to heal and soothe. It could be related to liver. We've talked about liver before, and in which case, you know, liver is very connected to skin issues and things will come out. And I would say yellow dock. I think we talked about yellow dock for iron levels? No. Yellow dock's a really nice herb. You can get it as a powdered herb. I usually like the powdered. You can get it as a tea, in a tea form. You can get it in a tincture form. Right? And that can be helpful to just help the liver to, you know, calm everything and soothe everything. I mean, it's hard to say what it actually is related to, but all of those things might be helpful.
Okay.
I don't think it's a shingles thing just because of the distribution.
No, I don't think so either.
And you'd be in a lot more pain if it was shingles.
Right. It's just that the weather has become a lot warmer a couple of days a week now, but I thought it would improve, but it's still...
Well, it may take a while. I would try the castor oil sometimes aloe vera. Do you have a plant? We have plants in our bathroom. So maybe some aloe vera, try some of the, if you have any calendula or plantain, you know, some of those nice soothing, healing things for skin.
Okay.
But I've found that that combination of castor oil with flax oil rubbed on the skin, you know, you want to put gloves on after that or do it at bedtime and put like, you know, those thin white gloves that like, the little, yeah, those kind of gloves just to prevent your sheets from getting soiled. And I wouldn't do it during the day when you're handling things because that castor oil is really kind of yucky. But then during the day, you could put on some aloe vera or calendula or plantain cream.
Okay.
And see if that helps it to heal.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. And then the other question I have is, did you ever find out about the gene that you were going to try and see if I have the melatonin one?
Yeah, I didn't find out if you had it. I think I sent you the list of it and I looked at Lisa's report and it wasn't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. So what I need to do that is to get into your 23andMe.
And we did a screen capture. You did a screen capture and you said you were going to research it. It had all the different.
Oh, it had all the different ones. Yeah,
the raw data for that particular gene.
Let me look to see what I did research it and I found a bunch of articles and now I just have to remember where I thought I had sent them to you. So let me go back to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other
So there's a gene that she's talking about. There's a specific gene. It's like MC something or other. And if you have that gene, it's not a good idea. You have to be careful in taking melatonin. Not that you shouldn't, but you have to be careful in taking melatonin because it could trigger insulin resistance. Yeah. And I found a bunch of articles and I actually sent a couple of them to Lisa. I thought I had posted them. Let me go back and find them. Okay. I probably saved them in my Evernote.
Okay.
Because you know, you don't want to take melatonin if you have that because it's going to cause your blood sugar to go up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is my thermogram. We will have our meeting next week. Will we be able to go over the thermogram results?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Gina, melatonin gene. Okay, got it. Anything else?
I think that's it for now, Dr. Rita. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, who else has a hand up? Or okay, Catherine.
Hello. So for successes, I would say that my big success is today I actually feel like I have some energy, whereas the last week I've been like worn out just walking between bedroom and kitchen. So today, you know, I have some energy. So, and the weather turned as well to be really nice today, yes. Where I'm actually wearing my Milwaukee Brewer playoff. Gina, you have to check that out.
I know. That's cute.
So it's spring training. So, but it's nice enough to actually, it's actually colder inside the house than it is outside. It's kind of
That's
great.
What it is here. I was outside in my shirt sleeves. I came in, I had to put my jacket back on. Is that weird?
Yeah. It's like, I love it though. It's like, you know, and then of course soon it will become so hot that you can't breathe anywhere. But I had three kind of bizarre, kind of random questions for you, Dr. Rita.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So one is on the genetic front. I remember you mentioning and referring to this SNP that is consistent with somebody being like, you know, wanting to get everything perfect, being a perfectionist, wanting to be, you know, never having enough information. What is that SNP? Do you remember?
GAD is one of them.
Okay.
MAO is another one. And if you have them both, good riddance, right? You're never getting anything done. No, GAO, MAO, GAD, MAO. And then there's a weird combination of VDR with MAO that is known to, I mean, specifically says that combination, and I think it's with one of the COMTs, I'll have to look that one up, that is known to be a precursor to obsessive compulsive disorder.
Wow.
Okay. This is, I always said to my husband's mother was very OCD, like everything. She wouldn't get rid of a coffee pot that wasn't working anymore, but it had this pink handle that matched her tiles in her kitchen. So she'd keep it. And we every year, like, can you get rid of it? She wouldn't throw the newspapers away until she read them all. So a few times I would say to Scott, when he'd get a little OCD-ish on me, I'd say, oh my God, you got your mother's OCD gene. Oh my God. And then we got our genes tested. And I went, oh my God, you got your mother's OCD gene. It's a sex link. The MAO is sex linked. So you definitely get it from your mother. And he had the COMT and the VDR combination. And I'm like, look, it says right here. So there is some, yeah. So I'm watching with him. Like every time I'm like, genes. Don't need to do all that. You don't have to be that picky about it. So yeah. So let me look real quick. I think I can tell you the three specific, it's a particular, I think it's VDRTAQ. Let me find it. I can find it in a second, I think. All right. Actually, I could just pull up his gene report and we'll see it right away. See clients and Scott. Okay, let's see. Genetic detoxification. No, genetic genie. Where's genetic genie? Here we go. Oh, there was an error opening the document. That doesn't sound good. All right, let me look on the site and I'll be able to see if I can find it there. Here we go. Okay, so nutrigenomics interpreting results. There we go. And believe we can find that information. And then the GAD is like just super, like everything has to be perfect, right? And it's an anxiety, it's a GABA related gene. So low GABA, which causes a little bit of anxiety if things go wrong. Nutrigenomics, why is that not showing? Okay, there it is. La, 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 la. Methylation, here we go. MAO. MAO, MAOA with COMT V158M.
Okay.
And VDR. Let me see which VDR it is. VDR. VDR. So it's inherited through mom, MAO, COMT. Oh, I guess it's just the two of them together. MAOA plus plus with COMT V158M increases the likelihood of obsessive compulsive disorder, mood swings, aggressive or violent behavior. Supplementing with 5-HTP and other serotonin support could be helpful.
Cool, thank you. I will check those out. I have tons of SNPs in the stress, anxiety, mental kind of area. And I'm like the total perfectionist and have a hard time reading something if an Oxford comma is missing.
Oh gosh, don't read my emails then.
I have been known to actually, in order to read something, I will fix the commas in order to read it because I'm so obsessed about the lack of an Oxford comma.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to carving out some time to go through your Stratagene report, your 102 pages. That's what's scaring me. It's 102 pages, but it has a lot of great information in it. So I'm going to see what's there.
Cool. It should be interesting, right?
Right. And so for you, I've got a lot of mental health genes as well. meditation, breathing, heart math, parasympathetic activities that are going to improve vagus nerve tone are so important. And it's not just like, oh yeah, meditation is a good thing to do. For us, it's mandatory, right? It's totally mandatory, because otherwise, you know, whenever you see yourself, it's observing. Oh, there I go again. I remember doing this once years ago. We just moved into the house and my in-laws were going to come visit, and I was folding towels and putting them in. And I remember thinking about how I was folding every towel the exact same way, so it faced the exact same way, and how impressed they were going to be how organized I was. It's like, now I just shove the towels in the closet and close the door and hope it sticks. Cause I was like, I can't, but that's the kind of, probably you relate to that, right? Donna went, yeah. Yeah. And how you do one thing is usually how you do everything. And so it really can restrict you in doing what you really want to be doing in life, because you're spending time with the commas and folding towels and, you know, not really having the time to do the stuff that you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, then another question for you. Thank you for that. I'm going to look that up. Another question is, I wanted to ask you about gallbladder. Mm-hmm. And I had read something about how if you've had your gallbladder removed, or even if your gallbladder just isn't functioning right, it can have a huge role in terms of clearing estrogen from the body. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because I had my gallbladder removed 2002. India was just, the conflict between India and Pakistan was just calming down. So it was July 2002. My gallbladder was so diseased that they kept it at the hospital for study.
Wow.
And I had no symptoms until like 3 weeks before.
And then it was suddenly like doubled over, intense, couldn't stand. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it and they're like, you had to have had been issues for years. And I'm like, didn't feel it, but it was so bad. But it's where I kind of wonder, well, whatever prompted the gallbladder to go bad in the first place, is that playing a role in my current issues? And I'd read something about estrogen clearance and was just confused by it, because there wasn't a lot of detail in that. So I'd love your thoughts.
So the liver, you know, when estrogen gets used up, it gets then broken down into the different forms. When we've gone through the Dutch test, and we'll go through it on Friday when we go through that, is the 4-hydroxy, 16-hydroxy, or 2-hydroxy. So it breaks them down, and those are the forms that get eliminated. In order for them to get eliminated, they get attached, and most chemicals and toxins from the liver, once it's like, okay, we're ready to get rid of this, it attaches to bile. And then the bile carries that out. With the gallbladder, when you have a gallbladder, it's storing bile. And then when you're eating fats, it dumps as much as you need for the amount of fat in the meal because of these cholecystokinin and other hormones that trigger it. And so we go down. Without the gallbladder, you don't get the concentrated bile. You just get this kind of slow drip of bile. As the liver produces it, it gets there. So you're not going to get that concentration, and it may not be able to latch on. Plus, it's important to have good gut bacteria, because that can transform and that can pull it out and let it go out in the stool. And so then it gets recycled and goes back to the liver to get processed again, which is very inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what causes that? Biliary stasis, toxic sludge, right? If you have too many toxins, if you have genetically, you have SNPs where your liver detoxification is sluggish. Too much fats in your diet, where you're constantly like yanking at it, and sludgy, thick bile. There are herbs that can help support that. Certainly the dietary changes. There is a connection between gluten and gallbladder stuff. If you look at anything that Karazian wrote, he has this whole section on gluten and the effects, the gallbladder effects on the effects there. I don't remember the exact mechanism. So I would say, you know, things that thin the bile. You did the practical herbal with us, right? Did you do that? Yeah. So go into the practical herbal class, and there was a section on cholagogues. It's also in the main program in the grand program. On the very last module in there is on elimination, and it talks about cholagogues, but most of the stuff I captured in into practical herbalism. So there's a lot of different herbs that you can do that help to thin the bile and keep it from being sludgy. Now that you've got your gallbladder removed, like the stones form and the gallbladder gets all like, you know, kind of grossed out, and then it doesn't work properly. Mm-hmm. So I would look at some of those, the cholagogues. Be careful with things like celandine. And I say that in that course, like celandine's super, super powerful. And I usually, you have to do it in the right amounts and probably only take it under the care of somebody who knows how to, you know, and can monitor. But there's a bunch of other really nice cholagogues. I mean, dandelion is actually considered a cholagogue. So you might come up with some, you know, brew that you can take, right? You know, that's your liver gallbladder support, even though you don't have a gallbladder. Do you take any bile acids?
No, I don't. And I've never felt like, oh, I don't have enough support for, you know, if I eat something fattier, you know, or oily or whatever. I've never felt like, oh, things hurt or bother me.
Okay. So, then if it's, yeah.
But it could be also that, you know, I wasn't noticing gallbladder.
You weren't noticing it before. So. Maybe the nerve endings are off that you're not noticing. But, you know, usually people who have trouble with fat, they'll know it. Like they'll know that every time I eat fat, I just feel like gassy, bloated, pain, whatever. So if you're not noticing that, and then with bile acids, it is tricky, right? Because you have to get them just right, or else you end up with what's called the dumping syndrome, where you end up with diarrhea, and that's not a good thing. So I usually do recommend bile acids for people who have lost their gallbladders. But we have to just go really slowly in doing it. And usually it's for people when they're symptomatic, not asymptomatic.
Yeah. The only time I get those kind of symptoms is if I eat like Ben and Jerry's the whole.
I have a solution to that one.
Well, I just don't eat that anymore.
Don't eat it.
But, you know, that was the only time I ever noticed it, you know.
Okay.
But
yeah.
But I've given up Ben and Jerry's. So.
I know. That's a tough one, right? I've replaced it with my collagen protein zucchini ice cream with sprouted walnuts.
Sounds
interesting.
Like it could be.
It's actually quite tasty. I've made it for folks who.
I love your ice cream. I make my son and husband loves it. Oh, I save all my zucchini from the summer garden and chop it up and keep it in the freezer and use it to make it. I really like it.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Because it hasn't been time to make it. I've been like, oh no, it's too cold. It's too cold. And so it's going to be soon time to make some zucchini ice cream.
I will have to try that. Try making
it. It's actually good. You have the recipe guide. It's on the nutrition page. And it's fun. Like, you know, a handful of coconut or macadamia nuts or avocado or something to make it creamier, but there's something about zucchini when it's blended that's very creamy. I know.
And you don't taste it.
You don't taste it at all. If you don't grind it as well, there's occasionally a little piece and you're like, what's this hunk of whatever? But you just have to blend it well enough.
Cool. Well, thank you, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're welcome. Who else? Donna?
Hello. So what's good? It's beautiful out.
Nice.
So we went to the holistic doctor yesterday, Xander and I, and for the past year, we go like every 3 months or so. So there's this test thing that he puts this little clampy on your finger and he runs this test and it tells you the elasticity of your arteries or whatever, so to see how mm-hmm. your arteries are. So when I first went, it was so bad it couldn't even read it. So then the next time it was still pretty bad. So like level 4 is like the worst you can be, and I was in level 4. It was really bad. So this last time I went, it actually went to level 3.
Yay. So that's moving in the right direction.
So it's, you know, slow going, but it's still, at least I see that I can have some effect. I think that's one of my problems, is when I don't see effect, and then it's like, well, why am I suffering for nothing?
Why bother? Let's just go get Ben and Jerry's. Yep.
So, okay. So earlier someone was talking about the tinnitus. I have that so bad all the time, 24/7. That's one of the biggest problems why I cannot fall asleep, because it is so loud in my ears when I'm trying to sleep. It's unreal. It's like I just went to a concert and I was standing right next to the speaker for 3 hours.
Wow.
It's so bad. But it's still there during the day, but you don't hear it as much.
You don't hear it as much.
Stuff.
Right.
It's terrible. And along with, you know, the memory and cognitive that is like getting worse by the day. I feel like I'm in a bubble with, how do you explain it? Say somebody has Alzheimer's, and their bubble of what they can remember, what they can do, whatever, is really big, and then it's just getting smaller and smaller. And that's what I feel like, is my life is in such a small bubble that if I'm not doing it daily, and there's only so many things I can remember to do them daily, then that I don't remember them anymore, and it's non-existent in my life anymore. Mm. It's so bad, and I don't know how to explain it to anybody, because I have notes everywhere, and I cannot remember. I mean, I had a note here on my nightstand, on my mirror in my bathroom, and I finally, and that was like that for, you know, where it's like in numerous places for a good month before I could actually get those things done.
And these things that you're talking about, are they like taking supplements or doing heart math or making certain foods or
that?
What's that? What are the notes related to?
Anything. All right. So for example, the thing that was on my list was to try and call the stupid Naperville city, and because they do our electric, and I wanted to get the smart meter off. And so I've had notes to get rid of the smart meter for over a year. And you know, it's just.
And what happens when you see the note? Like you're walking by and there's a note on your refrigerator, for example. I don't know where, but like say, what happens when you see that note?
So then the memory comes back to mind, and I say, okay, yep, I'm going to do that today. And then I walk away. It's completely gone.
Okay.
And I'll see it somewhere else. Oh yeah, I need to do that today. But I can't, you know, my life is not where I could just drop everything when I see a note and do that particular thing right at that moment. And so, you know what I mean? So it never actually gets done. And then I think about when I'm laying there in bed, that's when like my memory works the best. It's wonderful, because then I can't sleep at all, because everything in life is like coming back to me in that, you know, hours that I can't sleep, because I'm thinking about all these things. So then I make long lists. So then I have long lists.
And then it's too much and it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's something that just came to mind that might be something you can consider. You know, if it's something that's simple, right? Hey, you see a note, call this person. What would prevent you in that moment from doing it? Like if you carried your phone around with you and you saw the note and you went, oh, let me go do it. Do you make it easy for yourself on the note, like put the phone number or whatever else you need to be able to actually do it?
Yeah, that's not the problem. It's, you know, because I'm already on a Zoom call, or I'm dealing with some Xander thing, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so you're doing something else. So what if you set a time every day?
That's not
good. It could be any time at all that you're going to just go around and you're going to do as many of your notes as you can.
I can set a schedule. I can set a plan every single day. And the way my life is with him, it doesn't.
It gets work. Interrupted.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Okay. Does he sleep in the morning?
No.
He doesn't.
He has to get up before me because he has to do school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of it is a life. it's a life situation change.
Hectic all the time.
Right. If you're hectic all the time, then yeah. So you've got to be able to have some time, right?
Yeah. Like, at night when they go to bed.
Yeah.
And nothing's open anymore.
And nothing's open anymore. Yeah.
Anyway.
If anybody has any helpful hints here for Donna, I'm open to it. Yeah. Go ahead,
Catherine. The only one thing I would note, because I have, I will frequently like forget to do things. I forget to brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. I forget to take supplements the right time. So I have some of those kind of things too. And I found that if I remember to tell Alexa to remind me, it helps. Mm-hmm. Now I have to always remember to tell Alexa to, you know, set a reminder for X time to do blah, blah, blah. And so sometimes I'm trying to do it where I'll tell Alexa, set a daily reminder, you know, for X time to do blah. And sometimes it could be just, you know, literally, you know,
drink water,
get to-do list, you know, but sometimes it's literally put on amber glasses. I'd be lost.
So I have my phone and I've set reminders. And so then it goes on my watch and it's, you know, gives me a reminder to do something. But the same exact thing happens where at that moment when I'm getting the reminder, I can't do it at that time because I'm in the middle of whatever. And so whatever it is, and I say, okay, boop, remind me, you know, snooze.
Remind me later.
Thing, and, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, nothing works.
So if Xander is
so many things,
are there, if you look back over the last few days, and is every day from, you know, first thing in the morning till you get up till you go to bed completely booked, or there's sometimes where you could have done it if you remembered?
Some days yes, other days no. Like today I got up and I have been going on calls. You know, like I had 5 minutes in between the last call to this call. And so I haven't even gotten to eat yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just crazy because I'm constantly, and then, you know, I'm constantly leaving to go and do that and come back and take care of him. And
okay, so let's go back to the smart meter. I want to get you to have one thing that you've accomplished. How long will it take you to contact the company for the smart meter? Is that something you got to have hour?
I finally called the smart meter. Somebody has to get back to me. The next thing that is a real big pain in the butt is calling AT&T because my stupid internet that they, you know, I finally got it so that they came out here, upgraded my internet. It's even worse now. I got my TV working. It doesn't work anymore. Like,
so you have to contact them to fix your internet.
Just the thought of having to deal with them for another hour, 2 hours. And you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's not like you can just call. It's done in 5 minutes and it's over. Right.
So it's just exhausting. It's exhausting. Anyway.
So, you know, at this point, I don't know what to tell you how to fix it. You know what I mean? We can listen to you. We can sympathize with you.
No.
But I don't have any other ideas other than have your phone beep at you every hour. And then if it happens to be a good timing that you do something on your list.
Yeah.
Or go around the house and whichever sticky note pops out at you first, you take care of. But you also on those, like calling AT&T, I know, calling anything. I hate to call anything because you're on the phone for an hour and I only have 15 minutes to get this done. Like, and then they put you on hold and then you have to quit, right? So I understand that frustration. I totally do. But I think for you, the important things for you, the really important things for you is to make sure that you're eating good food, that you're not like crashing and then going and eating chocolate. I don't know how you're doing with that. Your sugar and your gluten.
Yeah,
it's bad. Right. So that makes the brain problems worse. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's one thing that you could pick out of all the healthy habits that we've talked about, whether it's take a certain supplement or eat a certain food or stay away from a certain food, can you pick one that you're willing, not the whole shebang, because the whole shebang is hard. One thing that you're willing to do for the next week.
So yesterday when I went to the holistic doctor and, you know, I bought a ton of supplements, you know, Lisa and I talked, or the things that you suggest or whatever. So I buy them. And then, you know, sometimes I'm taking them if I can remember. But then I go to Dr. Holt and he tests them and it's like, nope, 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 nope. So he tests like 15 things and one. Most of the times it's zero. So I get to have zinc. So anyway, so. Okay,
well, there's one thing that's super important, right? So it may be that the other things will test well when your zinc status comes up. So I would say let's commit to taking the zinc. Did he test you for the amount?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to every day take the zinc. So the idea is you're going to go to the bathroom and brush your teeth in the morning, right? Or wash your face or whatever. That sticky note, take zinc, goes on your mirror. And the bottle of zinc is right there. And you make sure that you always have an empty glass so that you can fill it. And I don't care if you're filling it from the tap water in the kitchen or in the bathroom. Well, because
I always have this with
you. You always have that with you. Good, good. But even so, like if there's something you're trying to do and the little bit of tap water to take my zinc, don't worry about it, right? You're better off taking the zinc than not taking the zinc, but that's
good. So I just put some water and put those drops in there and then drink it down.
And then drink it down.
Is there like a time when I should do it versus shouldn't?
Morning is perfect.
Okay.
Morning is actually the perfect time.
Okay.
Okay.
So that other person who had that magnesium thing, I've tried numerous ones of the magnesium, the melatonin, so many different ones. Nothing helps me sleep. I've gotten so little sleep lately. It's ridiculous.
But did he test you on anything for sleep yesterday?
So all the things that he has available to him, he's tested me on, and nothing. Even like a friend suggested this one kind that has 10 milligrams of the melatonin or whatever, and whatever, but it's like it worked fine for Xander, but not for you.
So the other thing, have you ever asked him to teach you how to muscle test yourself?
Well, but you have, but okay, but the, you know,
well, I'm saying, yeah, before you go and no, you can go in the store and you can stand there and then go, does this one work? Does this one work? And not buy them.
Yeah.
If they don't work.
Yeah.
Because I can hear you. It's frustration if you go and buy 10 supplements. And
yeah, I've wasted thousands of dollars on all the different supplements. I've just gone and tested and thrown away.
Okay. So you have a lot of stuff, and throwing them away isn't always the option, because just because you didn't test now doesn't mean you won't test again tomorrow. The other thing is testing at different times of day, because you went in to see him at, maybe it was 3 p.m, whatever time it was, that whatever supplements he was testing, some of them you may have needed first thing in the morning and some of them you may have needed at night. So I wouldn't just discount that some of the stuff for sleep that you test yourself at 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night or whatever time you're going to bed, because it might work then. And I've done a lot of muscle testing on myself with supplements. And there's, we don't always have time to test everything 4 times a day, 8 times a day.
Yeah.
But you think about what's like, the zinc is good in the morning. He already tested you for that. That's probably good any time of day. But the stuff for sleep, it's the middle of the afternoon when you're there. It may not test because this is not good for you right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to fall asleep in the middle of the day.
Right.
So I would say anything you have for sleep, take them all out, put them in your bedroom or your bathroom, wherever you want to do it before you go to bed. You test them all before you go to bed and see if anything shows up that works. And you take it that night. The next night, don't just assume that one right. Maybe something else. Your body is constantly evolving, right? And it may be a combination of this alone doesn't work, but when you mix it with two, like maybe you mix lavender and melatonin or magnesium and, you know, chamomile or something, they may work. And magnolia and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that one didn't work either. All right. So let me ask you a silly question. I know it's going to be silly, but I think I've just never understood this. When you talk about, you know, these SNP things.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does everybody have these and everybody just has, whether it's green, yellow, or red?
Yes. Yeah, so we have DNA in our body. We have 23 pairs, chromosome pairs, right? And those code for everything about you, the color of your hair, the shape of your eyes, everything in your body, and all of the metabolic pathways, how you make vitamin C, your receptors for vitamin D, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So of the ones in the genetics project that we've identified, that those are tested. 23andMe actually tests like 600,000 of them. Some of them, we have no idea what they do. We don't know if they're clinically relevant. But a bunch of them we do know are clinically relevant. We know what they're related to. So that report you have from genetic detoxification, it's not 100%. It doesn't have all of them that are clinically relevant, but it has a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so we're all going to have those same genes because we're human.
So, but when you say, oh, if you have such and such, don't we all have such and
you have that genetic expression, yes.
Okay.
But yours might be green, meaning mom and dad both gave you a functioning copy of that gene and that pathway should work okay.
Okay. Right?
But if it's yellow,
red, then it's like got a little boo-boo in there and it's not working exactly how it should.
And if it's red, then it's a lot, you know, there's a lot of disruption, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So like the ones that it says, like all my GAD ones are not genotype.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's for most people who've done a more recent 23andMe. I did mine ages ago, like 5 years ago or so, before, I think it was early 2018, that genetic.
But I have old ones, so that's why I'm confused.
When
I did my 23andMe, it was a while ago.
How many years do you think?
Gosh, it's got to be like 4 years ago.
And those are not genotyped. They have these things they call the chip that they run, right? And then the chip I think that was run on mine is 3, and now they're running 5 or 6. And mine is much more complete. And I
there's only 2 out of all those GAD that's genotyped. One is a yellow and one is a green.
Yeah.
And like that comp thing, like that's why I'm confused. It's like, so when you're reading them off and I'm looking through and I don't have that. It's like, I'm not understanding.
Yeah. And it's not that you don't have those genes. It's that 23andMe wasn't testing for them anymore.
Oh.
Okay. Right. And so they're not identifying them.
Okay.
Right.
Not understood. Like how?
Oh, that you're missing certain genes. Like, no. You're not missing those genes. It's that 23andMe isn't testing for those anymore.
Okay. So everybody has these SNPs. It's just how are your SNPs working?
Well, they're not SNPs if they're normal, right? The SNPs are when they're a polymorphism, single nucleotide polymorphism. And those letters, CC, TT, AG, those are nucleotides. And if one of them is different than what it should be, say it's supposed to be TT, that's green. If you have a TA, TC, right? You have a single nucleotide polymorphism. It's a single, well, I should say that particular.
Would any of them be green?
Yeah. How do I? So they're supposed to be green. Right.
Right.
So there's specific spots on each gene that express this way. So if there's 23 gene pairs on each of those genes, they have all these different they call them alleles, blah, 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 right. They're all coded on those that gene, right. If one of those is different, one of those places on the gene is different than it should be, that's a single nucleotide polymorphism. That's what a SNP is.
And is that green then?
No. If it's a polymorphism, if it's green, it's not a polymorphism. It's normal. So if it's yellow or red, it's a SNP.
Yeah, go ahead, Jenny.
I understand. So the question is, aren't all of them considered SNPs? But if it's green, it's not considered a SNP? Is that what you're asking, Donna?
Yeah, like, so just the whole idea of SNPs, it's like, at first I thought SNPs were the boo-boos.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, if it's a green, then it's not really a boo-boo. So I'm confused why.
So we don't call them the SNPs. In my understanding, we only call them SNPs if they're altered, right? If they're green, they're normal. If you have a yellow or a red, it's a SNP. It's a single nucleotide polymorphism, meaning it's different than what it should be.
So on the genetic report then, like we look at, yours might be green and mine is red. So I have a SNP, but Donna doesn't on that particular.
Exactly.
On that particular marker that we're looking at.
Exactly. Is that making
sense? Because the green ones are the way that they're supposed to be.
The way they're supposed to be. Right. Right. The yellow ones in general can be cause a 20 to 30% decrease in function of the particular enzyme or whatever is coding for. With the reds, it can cause 75 to 80% of a deficiency. So those are the ones we more want to address. But you'll see when I was reading them the other day, I was going through and picking out for people reds because I didn't have an hour and a half with each person to go through. So we're just going through reds. But then when I saw a big cluster of yellows, like, wow, look, all these brain function ones are yellow, that there's some stuff you probably need to address here, or in the immune system stuff or the inflammation stuff.
So if you have a bunch of green in something, then you don't need to look those ones up.
No, okay. Absolutely. So what I recommend you do is you take your report and then you can take those charts if you want, and then just mark the ones that are yellow or red and highlight them in yellow or red so you know which ones are worse, and then look at the action steps and what they mean, and then take action based on those, starting with the reds. I mean, the reds are going to be the most profound.
Okay. Yeah, because it's like every time you would go over those, it's like, am I understanding this correctly?
It's complicated. I mean, it is complicated.
And I understand what Donna's saying in that when you're talking about them in general and you refer to something that somebody else's SNP, you might not have that SNP. It's green, but it's kind of a generalized term to use for them for everyone. Yeah, exactly. So I totally get why that's confusing, why it could be confusing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never even thought to ask the question.
I mean, and the more you know, the more you raise questions, the more I think deeply about it, and I could see like, oh, I need to explain this a little bit better. I could explain this a little bit better. But it is complicated. It's like trying to explain the Krebs cycle to Denise before. It's like, how can I do this in a short way without having to go into the, you know, the electron transport chain and the,
That's something that I wish I understood a lot better, but it's like my cognitive is just like, you know, I'm getting like every other letter, every 10 letters, you know what I mean? It's like.
But you don't give yourself enough credit, because I've seen when your questions are always very intelligent. And it implies an understanding beyond what you're giving yourself credit for. Maybe the memory, the short-term memory is an issue, and look at your thing for PEMT and look at like the phospholipids as an opportunity to improve that. Do you have any PEMTs? That's under that. I forget which section it's in. Yeah, let's see, move it over so I can see. Yeah, you have a yellow.
So one is not genotyped and the other one is green. And then there's another one, the TT one is red.
Okay, yeah.
So I have a green one and a red one.
Yeah, and that's related to phosphorylated protein. So phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylinositol, phosphatidylethanolamine. So those are all phospholipids and they're important. I know it sounds like gobbledygook, right? But those are important for your nerve functions, for your cognition. Very important. Phosphatidylcholine in particular for memory, for short-term memory as well as long-term, but mostly short-term, right? So if you've got that SNP and you've got the manifestation of memory issues, then it says that needs to be addressed. So I would look at, from a food perspective, you can look at lecithin, whether it's soy lecithin or sunflower lecithin better, right? So, and that's something you can stick in your smoothies.
So why do I have one that's green and one that's red?
Because there's multiples of that same, there's multiple genetic markers for that same pathway. And that's why if it's red, it doesn't mean it's 100% out. Mm-hmm. But if I see a cluster of a lot of yellow or a lot of red, it's like there's no backup plan here.
Okay. Like if you just have one, that's then other ones can pick up the slack. But if
exactly, exactly. Brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like on mine, on my GADs, my GADs are terrible. I have like, I don't know, a whole slew of them that are red.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I have that same thing with, where's the other one in my brain? Anyway, there's a bunch of them in my brain that are not there, right? Like my brain should be offline, but I've trained it to be online with good nutrition, with exercise. But if I don't exercise for a while, or if I stop meditating and doing all that, I go into like, I become this little irritated, irritable, blah, you know, easily agitated because of that. Right. Okay. Everybody else in my family is on anti-anxiety medications, except for me, because it's all in there. Right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take so much time.
Yeah, it's okay. Who else? Jenny? I see your hand up, Peggy. Good.
I have a question.
Okay. Peggy and then Jenny, because is Jenny talking? Okay. Peggy and then Jenny.
Did I hear you say, I don't know, last week when we were talking pH on something, that if you are like 7.4 to 8, you can get too high, you get too much alkaline?
And it's usually higher than 7.4, but you know when you look at it and you're way over at the alkaline?
Yeah.
It oftentimes means that your body is overcompensating for acid. So when it goes into a very low acid, instead of just trying to buffer it with calcium and magnesium and potassium, it will go to ammonia, which ammonia is 7, right? Or 8, whatever. Ammonia is a very high. No, what is ammonia? 13 actually on the scale. I mean, ammonia is super alkaline. So the body's going, oh, emergency. And it's putting the ammonia in there to buffer it. And so instead of it being a 5, it becomes an 8 on your scale. And if we had a scale that went higher than 8, we'd probably see it higher than that. So that's, it's not a good thing to be super alkaline.
Right. But if you go there once in a great while, it's no big deal.
Probably we all do, right? Yeah. None of us is sitting around testing our pH all day long. Yeah. Right. It'd be great to have continuous meters that give us a readout, cortisol, glucose, pH.
Right?
Wouldn't that be cool? And all you had to do is look at this thing and go, okay, what do? Okay. Breathe, meditate, go for a walk. Right. Yeah. So we probably all do.
So then when it's really low, it's meaning that your body's taking everything and turning it to acid.
If it's really low, it's basically, it's trying to buffer it and it's doing it okay, right? But it's probably stealing calcium and magnesium and all those minerals from your bones.
Okay.
Right? And so, you know, if it gets so low that it's like, that's not working, then it goes into emergency buffering.
Okay. And then a question, mung beans, because they're supposedly easy to digest.
Mung beans and adjuki beans, yeah.
I mean, would those be a possible option for me?
I'm going to look them up to see what they have for beans. I love this app because now I can just look it up. Mung beans. Oh, I don't see it here.
I can't find it on any charts.
Okay, well, let's see. What are they similar to? That's too bad that this is.
Lentils is the only thing I can think of because I get the sliced mung beans.
And lentils are low oxalate. Have you tried lentils?
No.
Well, lentils would be a good
one. I had mung beans, but I didn't have lentils. And I was like,
let me look.
They're pretty much the
same. You couldn't find them on any charts?
Excuse me?
You couldn't find them on any charts?
No mung beans, no. And I've looked for a couple of years. And I put it in the oxalate groups and nobody ever responded.
Nobody ever responded.
I'm like, take it, they don't know.
I'm gonna look real quick. I haven't checked it yet, but I had somebody, I have to go into my thing from her. And
yeah, because I used to eat mung beans a lot because they were always easy to digest because I soak them.
Yeah, I would try them.
Okay.
They're probably, my guess is that they're similar to lentils because they're the tiny.
Yeah, that's my guess
too. Digest beans. Let's see. She asked. Oh, I have to look, find it. All right. She finished this chart. I have to just find it. Let me see. I might be able to find it real easily and see if she found them. Somebody was looking it up for me and she's part of all those groups. All right. Holy cow, we're running out of time. All right. I'll let you know if I find it, but I would say try it and get yourself some lentils and try those too, because those are low oxalate. So that would give you a good source of protein.
Yeah. Okay. And then also last week you were one of the talks you were talking about a supplement that people can take if they go out to eat or something that would help with the gluten.
There's one called Glutenza and there are others now that just, you know, they're copycats of that.
Yeah.
And okay. you don't want to eat it and then deliberately eat pizza. Just
right.
So. Right. But it's like if you are in a restaurant and you're sensitive and the cutting board is, you know, right. Contaminated. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I just didn't catch the name and I wanted to make sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Where are we? Jenny.
I had a couple things. My positive thing is that I started an exercise program and I've stuck with it and feel so good. I always ask yourself why you stop.
Exactly.
You know. And I had two questions. When I was ordering the blood tests, I need to get the iron tested, my iron tested. So is iron included in the total iron?
Yes.
It is. Okay, good.
Yes.
And just the other thing I just was going to ask, is Wheaton gone? Oh, Wheaton's gone. I just wanted to put out a little warning to people. I don't know if anybody has tried doing, ordering from Julian Bakery lately. Has anyone?
Oh, I haven't lately. I used to order from there.
Yeah. And I just thought, So we were on a call in January when I think it was David brought up that they had the Sasha Inca powder and I thought I'd try it. So January 22nd, I placed an order with them. I'd already ordered once in the past, the chocolate lava bars. And it took a while to get here, but not that bad. And I ordered Sasha Inca and I ordered three different boxes of their different protein bars to send to my son, actually, because he really liked the chocolate lava. They charged my credit card in January 22nd, over $200, and they never filled the order. And after continuously trying to contact them, they don't answer their phone. There's a message there saying they're short staffed due to COVID and stuff. And then quickly after they charged my credit card, they issued a tracking number, but they warn when you get the tracking number, don't assume it's going anywhere yet. You have to see it moving before you actually know that the order's in the mail. So February 3rd, they issued a tracking number, which only a few days, about a week after I placed the order. And it never moved. So after a month, I tried contacting them and their customer service email got bounced back to me. They said that they couldn't find that address. So then I started trying to contact them through their wholesale email address. Eventually, I heard back from them and they said my order would be sent that week. I was issued another tracking number. I was very excited to see it moving. And when it got here, there was only one out of the four items that I'd ordered.
Oh, Lord.
No communication about it at all. So then I said, I just want my money back. I'll deduct what you did send, but then I want my money back. So then they've told me that they've credited my credit card because I went to my bank and filed a grievance with
a grievance, people. Right. That's what I was going to suggest.
And, but then they said, well, I've refunded your credit card and it's not showing up. And that's been almost 5 days. So it's just been kind of a nightmare ever since I placed the order. And I know that people had recommended them, not just yourself, other people sound like they've ordered from them on and one of the calls when we were talking. And it's just
it's a bummer. It's a bummer. I would say go and do an actual chargeback. So you know what a chargeback is? You tell your credit card, you go to your credit card company and say, this is what happened, you know, and they'll just immediately give you your money back. And then they're at risk. They have to go and prove that, you know, they actually sent you stuff.
Well, I think that I did it the only way I kind of can by going through my bank because it's the bank and they go to Visa and say what's happening. And I think in a couple of days, they said they would refund the money that I asked for.
Okay. That's a chargeback then. If they are going to refund you the money, that's what's called a chargeback.
Yeah.
It says, I ordered this stuff. I paid all this money. I didn't get the product. You know, and they'll give the money back. And then the it's up to, because we've had people do that. And we're like, wait a minute, why did you do that? Like you came to this event or you did this. And then so we have the paperwork that says, look, this person got what they paid for. And then they eventually credit us back. But it's a pain.
Wow.
It's not a pain for you. It's easy for you. It's a pain for them on the receiving end. But if they did all this and they didn't give you your money back or your products, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up taking pictures. The box could not have held anything more than a box of bars. And then they also, they said that at one point that after I received the package, I get an email. Your package, we have on record, your package has been delivered and it lists every item that I'd ordered that I didn't receive. And it was like, talk about adding injury to insult.
Oh God.
Just the worst. Anyway, so I just wanted to warn people.
Yeah, thank you. I've never ordered from them directly. I always order through Amazon.
Well, they didn't have the products that I was looking for at Amazon. I'm guessing.
Continuing and they're going under.
Well, what I commented, they said, we understand your frustration. We've refunded your credit card this much. And they said that we didn't have those items. That's why your order was split. And it's like, so if you didn't have the items, why did you charge my credit card a month ago for those items? And just put a sold out on your website. So people aren't ordering anyway.
Okay. I'm sorry you had that problem.
No, I just wanted to warn people, but it's fine. It's not a big deal. Oh, I have one other question.
Okay.
Can you see how bad my gland is swollen right here? Like, I don't know if you can.
Oh yeah, I can from this angle. Tooth. Do you have a tooth issue? A gum thing?
Tooth or gum.
Know about it. That you got, like, poke around in there to see if there's some inflammation on your gum.
Okay.
I mean, mumps are usually up higher, so it's usually not mumps, but there are a bunch of glands right around here. Or throat or anything like that.
No, my ear feels like I can't hear very well out of it. Maybe right, so I have
an ear infection or a little fluid in your inner ear. Just in case. There's some really good drops, garlic, mullein. They're for ear infections. I mean, just put them in your ear and, you know, let it do its thing.
What was it called again?
Eardrops.
Okay.
Garlic and mullein and some other things like that. Yeah. You can get them. Most companies like Gaia and other places like that have them.
Okay.
But it's I would guess tooth or ear.
Okay.
My son woke up once in the middle of the night when we were in Hawaii about to go on a snorkeling trip the next day. And he goes, my neck hurts. And all the glands all the way down his neck. He was like 3 years old, hugely swollen. And then I start poking around and he goes like, I poked around the ear. So poke around your ear to see if
there's there's no pain anywhere.
I wonder if you could have gotten some fluid in your ear, maybe taken a shower that didn't come out, maybe have some wax buildup.
Yeah, it could be.
But ear or tooth, sometimes the tooth doesn't, you don't realize it until a few days later. I have a bad tooth there. I really do need to get something done. It's an old root canal, and every now and then it acts up, and I'll just notice it because my cheek, and I go, okay, I'm going to feel that tooth any day now. I see like this poked up cheek, and then I realize that it's the tooth. And
okay.
So one of the things that I do with that is, you know, scarlet, salt water rinses, clove, and just some clove on the gum. Neem is another one. I'm just throwing out some things you may have. You don't need all of that. Rubbing neem oil on the gum.
Can I do a compress on it too? Like just a hot.
And yep. And the other thing I find just very strange, if you put an ice cube on the gum right here, it reduces the swelling all the way back into your gum line.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll try that.
And when in doubt, my desperation is I take a syringe and I fill it up with vitamin C water, and that's painful.
But geez. Okay. All right. I'm open to anything.
Don't do that. Okay. But vitamin C, you know, up your vitamin C, you know, it's clearly something that's immune related, right? So you need to improve your immune system. So up your vitamin C levels, zinc levels, things like that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Compress would be helpful.
Okay.
Right, guys. Thank you for being here. I wish you all like the best of whatever that you know, that you have the best week. I don't know when our next call is, but I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.